Hey, is parenting harder than you thought it was going to be? Well, 62% of Americans say it is, according to a 2022 Pew Research study. And I think what happens is we can look at other people and see how they raise their kids and think to ourselves, well, whenever I have kids, my kids will never do what their kids do, right? And then the reality is you get kids, right? And if that first one is a perfect one, the next one might challenge you a little bit. So you take one at a time and you thank God for them in the process of being intentional as a parent. Dr. Randy here, along with Andrew today and Stephen, right here in the core and the center studios of our Intentional Living Center, talking about raising a responsible adult. And I would add a responsible, godly adult. That certainly is a goal as we continue. If you missed the first half of this show, which was last Friday, I hope you go back and listen to our archives at theintentionallife.com. We had so many great comments, I mean, on getting kids involved in sports and how are we raising our kids in our homes, how to handle screen time. A lot of great advice. I hope you'll go back and listen to that as well. All right, let's take calls ready to go today. Kim is in Arizona. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Dr. Randy?
I'm well. Thank you. What's your one thing?
My one thing is reading.
Oh, I think we got a little, we're losing your cell phone there. We'll let you get that reconnected and we'll come back to you, Kim. But I got the reading part. That's speaking of that, one of our grandsons has been visiting us. In fact, we have most all of our grandchildren visiting us this summer, living with us. Three of them from Africa here, from the mission field and so on. But anyway, our grandson Elias loves to read. And he just devours books. He'll sit there. I told him, I said, you've read more books in your 10 years of life than I've read in a lifetime. I mean, he just loves to read, so that's important. All right, we'll get back to you, Kim, in a moment. Let me go to Bill in Michigan. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir.
Good. Right ahead.
I've never been a parent, but I worked in a juvenile detention center for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of see that kids that don't have their parents' attention will resort to doing negative things in order to get their attention. So I guess what I would say is, you know, pay enough attention to your kids so that they don't have to do negative things to get your focus or whatever. And that creates a lot less stress, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does. In fact, we've taught over the years, we use this little statement, something I heard way back from one of my professors when I was in graduate school, that if a child can't be the best at being best, they'll be the best at being worst, but they're going to be best at something. And we know that from the standpoint of children, they demand our attention, and if they can't get it through the normal attention-getting behavior, sometimes they'll become more powerful. And then kids that get powerful, that's when they act out in tantrums and all those kinds of things. You will pay attention to me, right? And then, of course, there's parenting strategies with that. But unfortunately, some kids, as you said, and seeing it in the juvenile work that you do, Bill, sometimes kids get to a revenge stage where they're angry. And then they're going to say, I will make you pay attention to me, right? And so it's a good reminder. Parents, you just got wisdom from the other side there, pay attention to your kids. Don't ignore it. All right, let me go to Todd. Todd, how are you in Arizona today?
I'm doing well, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your one thing?
Our one thing was literally standing on the Word of God, the biblical standard that God sets, understanding the difference between requests and commands. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we didn't come to know Jesus until our kids were teens. And we've been blessed with 6 children. We're a blended family. We've been blessed with 10 grandchildren. And it wasn't until about 6 years ago that we gave our lives to Christ, and we made a steadfast decision to stand on biblical foundation. So one of the things that we did in setting guardrails for our children, and understanding that we had to reinforce new behaviors. Mm-hmm. So we stood on the premise of Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron as one friend sharpens another. And so we understood that in order for my wife and I to change behaviors for our children, that we had to emulate the behaviors that Christ wanted us to embrace. And so in doing that, we also embraced Romans 12:2, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our minds, because we knew that as children, when we reinforce ungodly behaviors, worldly behaviors, those become patterns. Those become developed and learned behaviors. But we also know that God is good, and science is always trying to catch up with God and the Bible. And we understand that neuroplasticity, we can create new neural pathways. We can try to eliminate trauma from the limbic system. And so when we admonished, we did so in such a loving and graceful and merciful way to where our kids didn't feel like they were being condemned, because we know that 1 John 4:20 says, where there's love, there's no condemnation. That's right. But we also wanted to let them know that there's got to be a level of conviction that the behaviors ungodly and worldly behaviors need to be changed. And we do so because of the authority and the obedience, the love that we have in Christ. And so it's taken us a long time. We understand that our kids are people, we're people. My wife and I were raised in broken homes. And so love wins, grace wins, mercy wins, compassion wins, the fruit of the Spirit wins all the time, as long as we are consistently patient, we run the race well, we're consistent with our children, and we do so in such a loving manner. It doesn't mean that we removed discipline, because, again, those are things that we had to redefine, that discipline is not punishment. Discipline is training for something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Our children still struggle with worldly things, but they don't look at things through the world now. Now they see the things through the lens of God.
See, listen. What you've done, Todd, is intentional living. You've approached your parenting responsibility, and you said, I'm going to start by first making a decision. My wife and I, you're going to make your wife and yourself making a decision to say, we want to do this according to what we understand Scripture to teach. And you did it intentionally. You did it lovingly. And you've been training your children. And again, as you said, we don't know what the outcome is. I mean, that's in God's hands in the lives of people. But the reality is, you're doing what God intends for you to do. Sometimes we spend more time figuring out the instructions. I'm trying to put together a smart TV today, which is usually smarter than the person trying to put it together, right? We can spend more time reading the instructions on putting together a smart TV or figuring out our iPhone or whatever it is, than we do figuring out how to be the kind of parent that God intends for us to be. And you just did a manual here. I mean, you could teach a class because you've laid it out. And that's the kind of thinking we need. That's powerful. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. This is fun. We're talking kids, and in particular, raising a responsible adult.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Paul is a very logical person. He was a thinker. He was an intellectual. And as he wrote, he did in an orderly fashion, just like an attorney would lay out the case, A, B, C, D, E. Therefore, here's what you can expect. And he says to us in Ephesians 4 through 6, first, you need to be, because that precedes what you're going to do. He focuses on what we're becoming. And then he talks about what we're to do. Are you ready? Paul says,
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yeah, it kind of fit in with what we were just talking about with Todd, right? I mean, teaching the children to be renewed the spirit of their minds. He was referencing a passage in Romans, but it's the same principle. Paul teaching here, the fact that we have to be before we do. And that's the whole thing of Ephesians. It's the lesson. It's exclusive for our members. It's up on our exclusive site. And I hope you're taking access to it, sharing it with friends and family, and learning and growing through our many resources for our members. And if you're not a member, come and join us. Your support matters. Give us a call at 888-888-1717 and press number 2 during West Coast business hours, or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com as we continue our discussion about raising a responsible adult.
This is Kathy. As parents, teach your children to be sure and pray and ask God for guidance and direction and protection, and to fill them with His Holy Spirit and His wisdom. And as caregivers of God's child, ask them to pray also for the same thing for themselves and for their children.
Thank you, Kathy. Hey, we got Kim back on the line here from Arizona. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you, Doctor?
Good. Thank you for allowing us to get back to you. We kind of lost your signal there for a while. You were talking about reading as something you're doing with your kids. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. So first, to read every night to your kids, you have to protect those nights. So not overscheduling, staying home during bedtime. Your kids are real small, a routine. And not just any books that they choose. Be really intentional with what you read.
Yes. Yeah, it's really important.
It is. Sunlight, which is a homeschooling organization, they put out a really good book list for kids of all ages. Not just setting aside time for your kids to read, but sitting. I read to my kids until they were teens, and we.
I think we're still having some problems with the, I think we got it though, Kim. It's a reminder about reading. Speaking of that, we took all of our grandkids, not all of them, but the ones with us, I think four or five that have been with us here this summer, over to the library. And I have to admit, because I do most stuff online, but there's sections in the library today you don't want your kids going into, frankly. And so being really careful. In fact, I picked out a book from the library and brought it home myself. I thought, oh, I'm going to really like this book. And by page 3, I said, not so much. Not only don't I agree with anything he's saying, I didn't agree with what he represented in his own life in terms of his values. And so anyway, learning to be discerning when it comes to the things that we want to read, and we allow our kids to see that, that's important. All right. Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it. You're trying there. Must be on the outskirts of a cell tower. All right, Joan, you're next in Arizona. Welcome. What have you learned about parenting?
Yes. Hello. Good to be on your program. Love your program. I've been listening to it for many, many years because I'm a grandma now. So I just was going to reflect and have reflected on what the few things that you said, what changed you. And your program helped, and my Bible study helped, to God, of course, first. But my children, I was kind of putting the things that I really wanted to do career-wise and sports-wise in front of my children. And I almost was losing my teenagers at one point, and I just decided, stop. I'm going to stop. And I gave it all up, and I backtracked, and I turned around, and I started studying God's word more, and I started forgiving my husband and keeping my marriage. And I think those two things saved, obviously, with God overlooking it and wisely directing me and me studying. And I think that's what saved it. And now I'm just so proud that they're all married and they're wonderful, and they're my friends, and my husband and I are still married. We're in our older ages. So your age, sort of like same ages.
You know, it would have been a lot easier, Joan, you know this, a lot easier back then to just let the whole thing blow up and just keep doing what you're doing. It wasn't the easiest thing. But something prompted you to say, enough of this, it's not working.
Yeah, it was him. It was him teaching me, if what I've forgiven you for, Joan, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. So that was a monumental step, which touched my heart deeply, and I just knew that he was real and there, and he's the one I want to listen to. And ever since then, I've just, it's not saying everything's easy, but I'm just blessed beyond measure. So
fantastic.
I'm grateful.
Well,
so
thank you, Joan.
Stick together, and I mean, stick with her husband. You know, everybody has bumps. We bump in the road, but you know, seek help when they need it. Your program is wonderful. There's Bible studies. We have one, but to stick with God and wisdom, and don't give up.
Amen to that. Thank you, Joan. I was referencing the Pew Research study on a parent study from 2022, and what parents prioritize as far as their concern for their kids. What's most important to them that their children do as they become adults? And what I found interesting, and maybe it was just a function of the way the study was done, there was no reference to faith, no reference that they would grow in their moral life. The number one thing that they said was important to them is that 88% said, we want our kids to be financially independent, number one on the list, which made me wonder, the other 12% want their kids to be broke? I don't know, but anyway, number one on the list, independence financially, have a job that they enjoy, earn a college degree was 40%. Getting married, only 21% of parents thought that was important for their kids to get married, and only 20% that they have children, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mostly it was, hey, get some money and get out of the house. I think that may be behind some of that. I don't know. All right, enough of that. Let's go to Lynn next in Michigan. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for taking my call. We appreciate your program.
Thank you.
And it's kind of unique. I rarely listen to the radio, but today I turned it on and heard your program, and it reminded me of a conversation that I had with my oldest son, who's now in his 30s and has been married for 2 or 3 years. But a year ago, we were having this conversation, and he said, Dad, my generation is raised in a group of kids that are not very intentional about anything. Mm. But he said, I watched you and Mom and Grandma and Grandpa, and you were very intentional with your marriage and the things that you did, and I want a marriage like yours.
Wow.
That's how you know when you've raised your kids and made an impact.
Well, you do. If they see in you something that they want, of course, kids never want it all, but that's okay too. But if they see the right things that they want, I think that is a measurement of success. So what are some of the things that he said he wanted? What are some of the things you were intentional about?
Here's some of the things that we did. We always kept God first, and Christianity was very high on our list. But then there's a few other things that we did, and a couple of those things is we always set the table, we sat around the table, and we ate, and there was no TV in the kitchen. We never allowed TV in the kitchen. That was, to us, that was holy ground, is that table was a time for conversation, and the other thing that we did is we created traditions. Like one of the traditions is we had a Saturday night pizza party, and it was here at the house, but it was something they enjoyed. It was something they looked forward to. And I think probably the number one thing that we did is my wife and I always honored and respected each other.
Mm.
And we made sure that they knew that. That was probably greater than anything else that we could have done, is they always knew that regardless of what's going to happen, Mom and Dad's going to honor and love each other and stand by us.
That's great. Hey, listen, I hope we got some young guys listening that pick up on this. They want to have the same kind of outcome that you did. Even your son saying, hey, Mom and Dad, you were intentional. That's actually what he said, you were intentional?
That's what he said. He said, you were intentional with your marriage. You set out some goals. You didn't just make it happen. You made it happen. You didn't just let it happen. You made it happen. And we did. We set out some goals. And those goals, we didn't think they had that big of an impact. But I'll tell you, that one meal a day at the table with no TV is huge.
Hey, listen.
I do premarital counseling before I marry any couple. And that's one thing I always bring in.
Yeah.
Eat together, set the table, and enjoy the meal. Don't take it to the living room. Sit at the table and eat and talk.
Yeah. Talking, communicating. All right. I'll tell you what. Thank you very much, Lynn. A lot of wisdom. You know, some of you listening today are discouraged. As a parent, you feel pretty overwhelmed with your kids. Their reaction to the life growing up in your home. You're trying to do a good job. You're struggling. I had a chance to talk with Lorraine in Washington some time ago, and I want you to hear that call in a moment. We're going to take a break first. Then I'm going to come back. I want you to listen. Maybe you'll find some encouragement from Lorraine in coming up in just a couple minutes.
Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, thank you, Kurt, for the reminder. Theintentionallife.com is sort of a, you know, that's where you go to get all the information about joining the team, also helpful resources. Got some great blogs where things have been written. There'll be encouragement to you. We've got some of our Intentional Living Minutes. Of course, all of our past programs, you can stream from there or listen to our podcast, of course, as well. And so do go there, theintentionallife.com. Or give us a call to join in during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Be a part of making a difference in a world today that needs to have some difference made. I want you to hear this call from Lorraine, as I mentioned, her story about what she's been through. Maybe it'll be an encouragement to you, and I want you to hear it. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Lorraine. I was raised in a very Christian home. My extended family was very Christian, very traditional. Whenever my parents separated, it was a pretty messy separation. I essentially was very angry at God, and I couldn't believe how he allowed this to happen. And our family just kind of fell apart, and I went into lots of drugs and drinking, promiscuous sex, lots of self-destructive behavior. Even through my worst moments, my dad prayed for me. He listened to me without judgment. He let me know that even if I was in a bad situation that I put myself in, he would be there to help me get out, you know, and he still gave me consequences, you know. He wasn't as free with his money for me, which was good. And just recently, in fact, right after I had my daughter, I got back into the church and I started praying again because I finally realized that all of the other things I was trying to combat, my anxiety and depression and make amends with my past, weren't working at all. And I finally realized that only God can work in my life and make a difference, a lasting difference.
You know, I was listening to that call yesterday from Lorraine that I had from some time ago. And I was thinking, well, we're talking about all these positive stories. Where does this work? And I just felt that somebody listening today, you're hanging in there. Just like that dad who kept praying for and supporting his daughter and was there. And eventually she made a decision, just like the daddy with the prodigal, right? Watching out that window every day. So I want to encourage those of you that are not having the happy land stories today in parenting to keep trusting him. God is good and he's with you and he'll give you the strength today to be the kind of parent that you need to be.
All my children are raised and love the Lord, but I was wondering how my children would raise their children. And that was always a concern. And I happened to be at my daughter's house one day. And she has a 2-year-old. and she asked him to do something, and he turned around and said no, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was wondering how they would interact, and she turned around and she said, "You do not say no to your mother. Go to timeout." And this little boy did a turn around, ran across the room, put his head in the corner, and just whimpered. And she said, "1 minute." And she put the timer on, and he whimpered, and he said, "I said, time, Mommy." And she goes, 25 seconds. He stayed there, and when the little timer went off, he ran to her and said, "I'm sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry." And they hugged and kissed. And she said, "You do not say no to your mother." And I stood there. I had to turn away and laugh to myself because I thought, that's so cool. This kid, I mean, just turned two, and when he makes a loud sound, either in a restaurant, because we go out a lot, we've taken him since he was a baby to a restaurant to teach him, and when he uses a loud voice, I just put my finger over my mouth and say, "Use your indoor voice." And then he says the same thing to me, but he whispers and then he giggles. So he's extremely intelligent, but that's because they've trained him since birth.
Good for you. All right. Train up a child the way he should go. Listen, there are so many practical things you can do. Let me tell you a couple things as we wrap up the show today. Your child is not your property. He's a gift of God to you, and you get an opportunity to raise him or her for several years. And as you do that intentionally, that's your gift to the next generation, right? And remember, the best way to raise a child is not to raise your voice. The quiet words of the wise, as I mentioned earlier, is better than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Being a parent where you are lovingly following through, knowing that all behavior has a purpose, and the purpose is either attention getting or power, and using the right kind of strategies that we teach here at Intentional Living, training them up in God's Word in a loving home, supportive home, and always looking for the long haul. Parenting is not a one-day job. You may feel like today you got defeated. That's okay, because tomorrow's coming, and His mercies are new every morning. All right, we got to get out of here. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew, for helping out today, and Stephen, our producer, and the rest of the team. I'm Dr. Randy for the Intentional Living family. If you want to know more about the ministry, go to theintentionallife.com. And I want to encourage you to pray for us. The next 2 days, the ministry board of directors will be meeting, and I get a chance to be a part of that along with a great group of men and women talking about the ministry. Pray for us that God will give us direction for a great upcoming year of ministry. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.